You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears Poisson.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Wisconsin lost almost 4,000 manufacturing jobs in 2016, lagging behind the national trend. At the same time, thousands of job openings still exist in the production sector. We'll talk to an economist about how manufacturing is looking for job seekers.
First, President Trump recently announced that he will pull the United States out of the Paris Climate Accords, which were reached late last year. That would put the U.S. in the company of only two other countries who did not sign the accords, Syria and Nicaragua.
And administration officials have been unclear on the White House policy toward climate change, with mixed messages about whether climate change is happening and whether it's caused by humans. Meanwhile, public opinion is accepting the scientific consensus on climate change, with recent surveys showing that more and more Americans are concerned about the issue and want action.
Barry Rabe is a non-resident senior fellow in governance studies at the Brookings Institution and is a professor in the University of Michigan's Ford School of Public Policy. He's written numerous articles about climate change, public opinion, and governmental response. Barry, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for inviting me, Judith.
So you said in a recent article that the Trump administration's stance on climate change is hard to pin down. Why?
It has been interesting. This has been a very eventful month for climate change policy in the U.S., as you noted in the introduction. But we still don't have a real clear sense what the president's views on this are. In fact, during that rather lengthy event at the Rose Garden where he decided to withdraw the U.S. from the Paris Agreement, he really didn't say one way or the other whether he thought climate change was occurring or if it was a significant problem. He did at the very end of his remarks say he would be willing to start afresh and negotiate something new, but we haven't had any more detail on that. And so it's interesting that we don't really have a clear sense on this. Some members of his administration have really been challenged by reporters to go on record, but the president really has not said any more on the issue since that event.
And what do we know about where public opinion stands today on whether climate change is real?
Well, this has been an issue where there are divides for some time. But we've just completed a survey. In fact, we were in the field and completed our survey, a national telephone survey across the U.S. These were folks who were being asked this question before it was known what the president was going to do about Paris. And this is something that we've been doing twice a year for almost 10 years now. And we found that 70% of Americans believe there is solid evidence that global temperatures have been warming, that there is global warming. And that's actually up from recent years. What we've seen is a jump up from the kind of the low 60% level to now in our last few surveys around 70%. That means that the remainder are either thinking that there isn't solid evidence of this or are not sure. But it means that overwhelmingly, by margins of more than 3-1, that Americans do believe that this is occurring.
So more Americans believe it's occurring. How concerned do they seem to be about that?
Well, and here we're finding that people are becoming somewhat more concerned over time and are also really locking into their positions much more. And so when you ask not only, gee, how do you feel, yes, no, on that particular question, we then follow up by asking, how confident are you that you're right in saying that warming is or is not occurring? We're finding on both sides of this that people are more and more confident all the time that their position is right. Vast majority saying that there is warming occurring and really strong confidence in this. So there's no evidence that this is the issue that is of greatest concern for most Americans by any stretch of the imagination. But the numbers have continued to pop up in the last several years on this and really are peaking in this last survey.
And what do we see as far as breakdown of who's believing and not? Are there differences that are noticeable between, say, political parties or age groups or parts of the country?
The biggest divide on this continues to be partisanship. That's not always been the case, but in recent years, the differences are really quite significant when you're talking to self-identified Democrats versus independents or Republicans. Now, for each of those categories, the numbers of those who say that they see solid evidence of global warming continues to nudge up, but the Democrats considerably higher than Republicans, and actually independents now pretty close to Democrats, but a little bit below in that measure. The other part of this, though, is where we begin to look at what people want governments to do about this, policy issues and the like. And there we continue to see some partisan divides, but even also some convergence on some questions.
So what does the American public want the federal government to do? Do they want the government to be engaged in addressing climate change?
Well, this is also a question that we've been asking for some time. And there had, around 2012, 2013, there was a drop in the percentage of Americans who would answer a question about, you know, is it your state's responsibility to address global warming in the absence of federal action? That was dropping down probably about 48-50% a couple of years ago. But now in this latest survey, again, April and May of this year, but before the public knew what President Trump was going to do with regard to Paris, we're seeing 66% of Americans who say that it is their state's responsibility to address the issue of global warming. That's the highest number on that front that we have seen in some time.
And that's really particularly interesting, I think, that given that after President Trump said that he wants to pull out of the Paris Accords, some states, some cities, even some corporations have pledged to work on meeting the goals regardless of what position the federal government takes or what level the federal government takes in participating. Does that make you think that those municipalities and states and corporations will get support from their residents or from their customers?
Well, this becomes a great, great political and policy question going forward. You're quite right that we have seen a tremendous amount of response from governors and mayors since the Paris announcement, although thus far, those are leaders whose jurisdictions have already, for the most part, been doing something pretty active in the area of reducing their emissions, often linked to energy transition. And clearly, one of the factors that have helped reduce American emissions fairly substantially, actually, over the last 10 years, about 8 or 9 percentage points down from where they were in 2005, even though we have more people and a larger economy, there are a series of factors there. But when you add up all the things that individual states and localities have done, that has been significant in many respects. This then becomes a really, really interesting test of Wisconsin and other states, including large cities, not so large cities, what they do and how they respond, especially now after Paris, when there's clearly not going to be pressure from the current federal government to mandate or require states or industries to make major shifts to reduce their emissions. That really does become a state-by-state, industry-by-industry kind of a decision. And really, the power that was there earlier in the last decade is clearly in the hands of the states in deciding what they are going to do or not do.
We're talking with Barry Rabe. He's a professor of public policy at the University of Michigan, talking about public opinion and climate change. The Trump administration seems to be committed to more traditional forms of energy production, moving ahead with pipeline approvals and calling for investment in the coal sector, for example. What does the data say about how the public views a greener energy economy?
We were really quite struck to see on issues of renewable energy or energy efficiency, these are issues that have very, very strong public support at about the 75-85% level across a range of policy options. In other words, if you ask people, should their state be mandating increases in renewables, requiring increases in energy efficiency, there's tremendous buy-in, three-quarters or more from Americans that their state should be doing this. And actually, this is an area where the numbers are quite high, regardless of whether you're talking to a Democrat, an independent, or a Republican, as well as more generally support for wind and solar, in many cases amongst people who don't think that there's evidence of global warming, but think it's something that their state should do for a number of reasons, possibly related to the economy and job-related sorts of activity. So this really does seem to be have a broad buy-in. And actually now there are more than half the states that have some version and variation of these policies. And it's not necessarily just the ones that we associate with being kind of leaders or most vocal on climate change. It includes states like Texas and North Dakota, which are seeing huge increases in the amount of energy they're getting from wind and other renewable sources, along with, as you're suggesting, oil and gas from fracking operations.
And Barry, as we wrap up, so we have public opinion shifting in a pretty significant way towards actively addressing climate change. But as we've said, we currently have an administration that is reversing policies and priorities in that area. What do you think comes next?
I think the near-term test is what states who realize that policy and power shifts back to them, what they actually do about it. So that it is indeed one thing to take a bold step and say, we're going to fly to Beijing and meet with the Premier of China, as Governor Brown did from California. It's another thing to sign a petition. And yet it's a much bigger challenge than to actually develop and adopt a policy to go through your legislature to build the kind of coalitions that you need to do some of the things that the public seems to want. Those are tests and challenges for states which, already have large agendas, have their own partisan divides, whether, again, that's Wisconsin or other parts of the country. So I think the real test of this, certainly over the next year or so, is what states do with this. And do, in fact, we begin to see not just states or regions working more with other countries like China, but also other neighbors like Canada and Mexico, where we have a tremendous cross-border amount of economic activity and energy movement north-south. We're already seeing a number of both states and certainly provinces in Canada and Mexican states beginning to talk about working more collaboratively, because they're all federal systems, rather than relying so much on national and federal governments, at a point where relations between the federal government and the U.S. and both Mexico and Canada are pretty strained, certainly on energy and climate issues, but also trade and the NAFTA accords. Do we begin to see a more kind of decentralized political leadership on this issue?
Barry, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Judith.
Barry Rabe is a non-resident senior fellow in governance studies at the Brookings Institution and is a professor in the University of Michigan's Ford School of Public Policy. He shared recent data on trends in public opinion on the topic of climate change.